T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, and with Freems on his way out to L.A., where Adam McAlvey joins us, Tim Allen sitting in this morning with us. Adam, good morning.
Hello, boys.
Adam, we're a little nervous after game two. I think you see, this is where I am from a sports radio perspective. What we do, as you know, is critique every single move all the time. But what Craig Counsell and the Brewers have done is developed a strategy of taking their starters out, going to their bullpen, and it's worked because the starters have been good even when they come out early, but the bullpen's been great. Last couple of days, maybe it hasn't worked so much. I know what he said, but do they look in hindsight thinking they should have kept Wade Miley in longer, or do they not even give that a second thought? It's on to game three.
No, I really believe they don't give it a second thought, and it's on to game three, because that is the strategy, as you said, that's got them to this point. The starters have been good because they've pitched short. That's the theory, at least. You're going twice through the order. If you think about Wade Miley, he was about to face Turner for the third time. That's when they made that move. That's the magic number, and there's a mountain of data to suggest that third time through is the danger zone. And that's why they made that move. That's why they've been making the moves, and the bullpen has done the job. And, you know, you come in, you say you're nervous. I mean, I think that the Dodgers should make you nervous right now, because in both games they have really come alive in the sixth inning and beyond, and it's been against that bullpen where they've done the damage. The Brewers bullpen hung on in game one. I mean, the Brewers won game one by a run, and the Dodgers played a truly atrocious game, and Justin Turner played, as he said, maybe the worst game of his major league career, and the Brewers got out of there with a win just by one run. So look, this is a very good LA team. I mean, that's the bottom line, is they are they grind at bats as good as any club. They're doing it late against that Brewers bullpen. But, I mean, I think if you're in Craig Counsell and Pat Murphy and Derek Johnson's spot, if you all of a sudden change your entire philosophy of how you're going to navigate these games because you're in this big, you know, bright lights of the National League Championship Series, that's as much a recipe for disaster as anything. So I think they are going to the extent they can, stick with the strategy. The key now is 3 games in 3 days, and that's something they haven't navigated in the postseason. That does require a little bit different thinking. So you maybe need a little bit more from Chassin. I would say the likelihood of that third time through is a little higher for Chassin. He's your main guy, number one, and just, you know, you're at the front end of this 3 games in 3 days. So I don't know. We'll see. Game three today's game is going to be the really interesting one. How do they use Josh Hader? Do they use him long and burn him for all three? I don't know the answer. The game is to some extent going to dictate it, but today is a really pivotal game for Milwaukee based on how they are built with that bullpen.
Let me ask you this, Adam, and I'll preface this by saying I would go to Jeremy Jeffress tonight if the situation dictated that. However, and it gets down to the crux of the question here. I understand fully the long-term decision-making that has been done by Counsell and his staff, because that's what has gotten you here. However, at what point does it tip the scale to say, hey, man, this is too short a window here, we're going to have to change something?
Well, look, I mean, I think, again, I think the 3 games in 3 days is partly that point. I mean, that it you have to think about it a little bit differently in this segment of the series. So I you know, again, I think just today's game is the key. If let's say they do go deep with Chacin today, if he gives them a good outing, he had that really bad one here at Dodger Stadium, but then after that's been dynamite, really, in every outing since that terrible game at the start of August. Let's say he goes deep and they're able to get, I don't know, even steal a win, but even just get through a game without burning through that pen. I think we might see bullpen day in game four. I mean, I think we might see Brandon Woodruff, maybe Gio, like they did in game one, short. I think those options are kind of on the table for game four. It's going to be a guy like that. So, again, just this game three is going to dictate so much, I think, about the next two, you know, this middle segment of the series. So, I hear what you're saying, and it's hard because it's, you know, Tim, with you, I've used that blackjack analogy a lot. You either hit on 16 or you stay against the face card. You know, the Brewers have hit because that's what mathematically you're supposed to do. You hit on 16 against the face card. And to all of a sudden get to the final round of the blackjack tournament, the biggest blackjack tournament in the world, or second biggest, let's say, and all of a sudden to change that strategy, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think that's why they've stuck with it so far in these playoffs.
One of my favorite storylines, Adam, on this season, and really the last two seasons for me, has been Travis Shaw. Because when I heard him spring training, maybe it was with you, somebody, he talked about, I'm not here to be a platoon guy. And then I asked him about that in their first workout before opening day last year, and I said, I was just surprised that you said that. He goes, well, I'm not here. I don't want to be. And then he wasn't. And then they make these trades. And then he was, but he made it so he wasn't. He hit a home run again off a lefty in game two. But what this has done now is with Jonathan Scope, I mean, he's got one at-bat this offseason now, or this playoff run. Now, I say this to you, knowing full well he'll come and hit a three-run home run on a pinch-hit appearance tonight. But it almost seems like they maybe wasted a spot on him in this series, in these playoffs. I don't know what their plan is with Scope.
I wondered if we were going to see Scope against one of the lefties the first two games for L.A., and he didn't. I'm a little bit surprised as well that he hasn't figured it all in these playoffs, and you wonder whether that's a spot because Perez gives you so much coverage all over the place. Either that's a spot you could use for another pitcher or a spot you could use for, a Keon Broxton in this round who gives you the base running and the fantastic defense. And he was kind of a late-game defensive guy in the division series round. So, yeah, I don't know exactly the thinking on keeping him. That roster requires a lot of strategy. I think they do a lot of thinking about it, even though there was just one change between rounds. I know there was a ton of debate about how they were going to line that up. Scope right now, it doesn't look like a spot that's giving you very much. But again, it's baseball being baseball. I think you nailed it, that the likelihood of him coming out and doing something, or at least being up there in a huge spot in these three games now, is probably pretty high. I think the other guy, just to talk about not used guys, Freddy Peralta hasn't pitched at all. And I think Freddy Peralta is another guy that you kind of circle for these three games in L.A., that if they are going to get through it, they're going to have to use him, I think, at some point to cover some innings. And this is a rookie who is, we've seen him, he's great when he throws strikes and not great when he doesn't. And, you know, how is he going to respond to the NLCS? A really big stage is going to be a big question, because I think at some point they're going to need innings from him, and it's going to be important that he comes out and perform.
Yeah, I think he is a safety net too, Adam, that if a game does get away on you where you don't burn some arms, I think it's going to have to be him. Unfortunately, if they're down, maybe falling on the sword there. Let me ask you this, Adam, through this all, the stretch and, You've been with them the whole time, the celebrations in St. Louis, Chicago, and Denver. And have you noticed, and I'm not asking you to speak out of school at all, I'm genuinely curious about this. The emotion that I saw from Craig Council on the positive side was really amazing. I enjoyed that a lot, and I'm a big Craig Council fan. But have you noticed any difference in not only Craig Council, but Murph and DJ and Darnell at all through all of this?
You know, I haven't, because I'm not down there. You know, you guys see more than I do, because you're getting those close-up, high-definition shots on television. I think the fans are getting a much better look at what it's like in the dugout than maybe we are. I know that, you know, that these wins mean a lot. These wins, Craig Council used the word precious a lot when he talks about winning baseball games down the stretch when the games really, really count. And, you know, you kind of, the way they've done it, it's not been riding one or two guys. It's been riding five guys, this idea of getting to 27 outs. And I think it's got to be gut-wrenching managing that, because you come up with a strategy and you think you map out how you get to that magical 27th out, and then you put the baseball in a human being's hand, and it's up to that human being to do what they're supposed to do on paper. That's, you know, the whole idea about analytics is you're trying to increase your odds. You're trying to play the math. But these are still human beings, and so every now and then, Jeremy Jeffress is going to allow a home run on a splitter, which he'd never done before. I mean, the spreadsheet says that Justin Turner moment isn't supposed to happen. But look, these are human beings playing a game on the field, and sometimes things happen that you don't expect. And I think that's got to be kind of the gut-wrenching part of it for those guys, is that, you know, they're kind of playing the odds, and sometimes the odds go against you.
Well, it went for him with Woody's homer. I mean, that off Kershaw, I mean, it goes the other way, too. Dodgers.
Well, that's exactly true. And from the Dodgers' point of view, that's got to be just an absolute gut punch. That ends up being the decisive run in a game where you play an awful game. The Dodgers played a putrid game. Should have lost by 10 runs. They lose by one run, and the one run is a home run by a left-handed hitting relief pitcher, I guess, technically, off the best left-handed pitcher any of us have ever seen over the last number of years. So, you know, the past decade or so. So it's true. It's, you know, this is still a game of human beings. And the way the game is played right now with, you know, a lot of people criticize the way the game is played right now in terms of the front offices and coaching staffs treating the players as robots. It's all very robotic. It's all too robotic to a lot of people right now. And every now and then, this game reminds you that these are very much human beings down there throwing baseballs and swinging pieces of wood. And they're going to surprise you from time to time. And there's always going to be that human element in the game that's going to pop up. And I think that's why maybe you see the emotion is when you get through it and things happen the way that they're quote-unquote supposed to happen, you feel pretty good about getting a W.
How much time are you spending on the real story that Brent Suter and Stephen Vogt can't be in the dugout anymore?
I'm confused by that, sir, to be honest, because it's not very consistent. Because I think there's been players, I'm pointing out there's been...
Like, did the Dodgers, they must have complained. Did someone complain?
No. I asked about this, and the answer I was given is you got to be on the 40-man. You know, a lot of these rules of Major League Baseball, you can't look up. They're dictated by sort of these memos back and forth, and they sort of have these rules stashed somewhere, but they're not really out there for you to see. And you ask, and then you kind of get the answer. So I asked an MLB official, and the answer was, you got to be a 40-man roster player. There's this idea floating out there that you can have eight extra guys in the dugout, but then, you know, you ask someone and someone says eight, and someone else says no. There's no exact number, but one of the parameters is 40-man. And when you're on the 60s ADL, like Brent Suter and Stephen Vogt, you're not on the 40-man roster, and that's been, I guess, the reason why. So I don't know. It's a weird.
Well, they're 0-1 without him. That's why I'm asking.
It's that broke the string. Yeah. That was the cooler.
Right. That broke it. Adam McKelvey from Los Angeles. We look forward to your coverage at Adam McKelvey, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and we will talk to you again soon, bud.
All right. See you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.